Hi there, Matt Kirk. I'm going to read Universal Blocks number 5 and number 6 from Bullseye Top Trader Thinking, chapter 8, page 108. Universal Block number 5, Murphy's Law. I talk to other traders and ask them what they're trading, and I also have a broker who recommends trades to me. However, when I jump on a trend my friend is on, the trend ends. When I don't get on board, it keeps going. As well as this, I occasionally take recommendations from my broker. The problem is, I only ever seem to choose the losers and never the winners. This leaves me very frustrated and confused, and it makes me feel like I'm jinxed or something. Have you ever thought like that? For some reason, Murphy's Law works perfectly when it comes to picking and choosing between trades, as you'll see from my personal experience over the course of my recommendation programs. In 1997, I started making trade recommendations. I had no fear as it was a new process and the clients who were taking my trades hadn't churned themselves to death in their own trading. This basically meant they were emotionally and financially still intact. Basically, we were all green, not in knowledge and ability, but green as far as fear was concerned. The rules were simple. I'd recommend an outright trade in, say, cocoa, and I'd be aiming for a risk-reward ratio of around 1 to 2.5. Which meant our stops were around 500 Aussie and our winning trades were around 2.5 times the losses or approximately 1,250 Aussie. I'd call each client and advise them how many contracts they could take based on their account size. I'd place the orders, sometimes market orders, sometimes limit orders, and sometimes buying or selling on a break of support or resistance levels, that is, stop entries. My analysis was done on daily charts and I also used simple seasonal analysis, which meant I'd be very keen on buying a commodity if the seasonal tendency was bullish and vice versa. As a confirmation tool, I used the Average Directional Index, or ADX, it's a strength of trend indicator. To protect the downside risk, all the orders were placed as if done stops. If we got stopped out, it was a loss of around 400 per contract, which was palatable to our clients. And away we went. Right off the bat, we had 8 winning trades in a row. That was between 26th of February and 10th of April 1997, which meant a standard account of $20,000 soared to $32,129, a 61% return in just 6 weeks. We traded outright futures in gold, cocoa, sugar, wheat, orange juice, live cattle and feeder cattle. Most clients had taken every trade. A few, however, had picked the ones they thought were going to be winners, and they were also ahead, but not as much as the clients who took every trade. Word spread and more clients came on board. The next recommendation in copper was a small loss, the one after that a tiny profit in soybean oil, and then a good profit in cocoa, then 2 losses in gold and orange juice. This is how trading goes. Small losses, small profits, big profits in whatever order. The problem was that many clients were now picking and choosing which ones to take and which ones to leave alone. This made me start to pick and choose between what I would recommend. I got cold feet in a way and realised pretty quickly that not only clients could pick the losers and not the winners, but I too could fade or not take one of my own signals. I was witnessing some of the clients choose only the losing trades, as well as starting to listen to other sources of input. The interesting thing and my saving grace was that if all 25 trades were taken between 26th of February and 30th of October 1997, a period of just 8 months, the return would have been a staggering 110%. Once again, based on a $20,000 account, turning that into $41,910. Anyone who had started at the beginning still made money overall, but it wasn't 110%. As in the end, everyone started choosing, or if they weren't available to take the trade, they missed out. Often the recommendations they missed out on were the big winners, and the ones they chose or were available were for the small winners or losers. I stopped the recommendation process soon after global share markets took a nosedive on the 20th of October 1997. I was simply too busy with the fallout from the crash, and I couldn't focus on a range of other markets at the time. In conjunction with the crash of 1997, I decided I didn't want to continue unless everyone was going to take every trade. Some clients thought I was a guru, some thought I was pretty good, and some had uncannily picked only the losers, so you can guess what they thought of me. It would have been wonderful if I could have told participants ahead of time which recommendations would be losers, but then of course, if I thought I was going to generate a losing trade, I wouldn't have recommended it. Top Trader Thinking. Trust your analysis. If you've put the work in to develop a winning trading system, then please do not pick and choose at random between the trades your system generates. Often the ones that look the least likely to succeed will be the winners and vice versa. Allocate a certain amount of capital to the system you're trading or to the recommended trades you're taking. And if you get to the point of, say, a drawdown of 20%, then stop and review the entries and exits to determine if any of them ever really had a chance of being winners in the first place. As your knowledge increases, you'll become a lot more skilled at identifying whether certain trading systems have merit or not. When you're convinced that your system truly is a winner, then take every signal and get into the trade. Conversely, get out when your system tells you to. Don't try and second guess at the last minute. We go on to number 6 universal block now, all hail the guru. Sometimes I question my own analysis when I hear another trader who is bigger and smarter than me doing or saying the opposite to the direction of the trade in the market, of my trade in the market. On many occasions, this has forced me to exit my trade at either a small profit or a small loss. Then I find that if I'd hung on, I would have really done well. Once again, has that happened to you? Under this scenario, you've got a much better handle on your top trader thinking than under the previous universal block scenarios. However, just as I was able to be swayed in the previous universal block about Murphy's Law, you're still able to be spooked at the last minute, especially by someone you perceive to be more experienced taking an opposing view. This is a common problem for new traders, as many feel they haven't paid their dues yet. Surely those already in the market must know more than I do, they say. Larry Williams tells a great story in relation to listening to others. A big trader finds out what side of the market he's on in the US 30-year Treasury bonds and calls Larry to ask him why he would have that position in the first place. I have to say here, a highly unregular and annoying thing to do. In any case, Larry feels a little unsettled by the call. However, as a top trader, he has a plan and a methodology, so he sticks to his trade and keeps his stop loss exactly where he'd originally placed it. So he short the T-bonds and the stop is placed at 17. He watches the market trade higher, 15, 15.5, 15.5, 15.5 again, 16, 16, 16.5, 17, 17 offered, then 16, 15.5 and lower to see him ultimately make a profit on the trade. Had he listened to the other Mr. Big, he might have panicked at 15 or 16 and ended up with a loser. The moral of the story? Who cares what others are saying and doing? And you've just got to stick to what you're doing. Top trader thinking, march to the beat of your own drum. You have your system, you know where you'll enter, and you know what you'll do as the market goes in your favour. You've also placed your stop loss as soon as you open the trade, and this stop order is only ever trailed with your position. It's not moved further away or taken off completely if the price gets near it. Simply sit back with detachment and allow the trade to unfold. Never ask someone's opinion or advice when you're in a trade, and never let someone find out what position you have in the market in case they decide to offer some kind assistance. If someone does find out what side you're on and calls you to question you about it, hang up before they get a word in and then take the phone off the hook. I'm Matt Kirk and I've just read Universal Block 5 and 6 from Bullseye Top Trader Thinking. My next podcast from Bullseye will be in a couple of weeks or so, and we'll kick off with Universal Block number 7, which is Easy Come, Easy Go, and Universal Block number 8, which is Got a Hot Tip. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.